So is it a positive development that companies increasingly reveal or display, showcase their employees?
I think it's really important to showcase the employees because any kind of service related to managing or resolving or advising on debt is not a product, it is a service. And when you are talking about services, you're really talking about very many intangible qualities. You know, you've got the sort of lower end of the spectrum. You know, is it accurately described? Is it delivered on time? Did it cost as much as you said it was going to cost? All of those things are very much tangible things that you can measure and see, and you should be able to see. As a matter of course, those should be transparent. But the real decisions are made not on, you know, does it cost that much? Was it done at that time? The real decisions are made. Does this person understand what my circumstances are? Are they going to respect, you know, that I need to be called on this day and not that day? There are also things to do with that ambient content that you get in digital media. You know, you may feel happier revealing your circumstances to somebody who's a cricket fan because you're a cricket fan, and you'll feel that, you know, that they abide by the same sort of moral compass, code of conduct, the rules of cricket, and that kind of thing. And it's those things that make you feel comfortable, and you need to feel comfortable if you're going to tackle a debt as a debtor.
So, how did you go about producing the document? What kind of consultations did you have with companies or with organisations to establish the?
It wasn't a research document in that sense of the word. We've done a lot of original research with companies and debtors and so on and so forth. The research for digital presence came about in two different ways. We've been for a long, long time, we've been doing mystery shopping of debt professionals' websites, and we share those publications with our subscribers, we share them with the OFT, we share them with the companies that we sample, and we've been looking out for compliance with the old debt management guidance and been looking out for transparency as far as consumers are concerned. And so from doing that sort of research and looking at what people put on their websites, you get a very good picture of what is transparent, what's attractive and engaging, and what's a, you know, really high example of bad practice. One of the things that came out of doing the mystery shopping, you know, there's a lot of scallywags and scammers out there, but often it's not a case. You know, you may see a site that is not terribly attractive to the consumer or compliant with what the OFT might want, and it could be about a professional who is, you know, incredibly engaged in being a professional and contract out all of the tech of building a website and have no idea that there are things on it that frankly shouldn't be there. And there are sort of obvious things as well with, you know, there may be somebody who has won a prize and they're so proud of that, but the prize was in 2007 and we're now in 2012, and that prize really shouldn't be on that site anymore because it looks like you're clinging on to some distant past. And it was those sorts of things that kind of gave us the idea of, you know, what was good practice and what was not good practice. We knew that the OFT were working on the debt management guidance, and we knew that because the internet and the whole of digital media have changed so much in the last 4 or 5 years, that there was going to be more on that around how people behaved online and what was compliant online. So when they brought the consultation document out in the summer of last year, we looked through all of the things that were required for debt management and looked how you would communicate those digitally. So we looked at one of the things, for example, you know, you're supposed to have a complaints procedure. Now, a complaints procedure is a formal legal document, and it can actually be quite a negative thing to read because it's sort of like, well, you know, if the complaints procedure is the best, most prominent thing you say about yourself, then you must get a lot of complaints.
Well, you're obliged to but make it available.
Yeah, but it's how you put it out there. And also, there are ways of writing a complaints procedure, and we've seen it done, that actually allow you, the consumer, to empathise with that process, because a complaint is actually an opportunity to make amends for something that's gone wrong and actually excel and surpass somebody's expectations. So writing a complaints procedure in a way that says, you know, we do listen, every now and then something does go wrong, if it does, we'll do this, and you know, it's clearly stepped and it's clearly phased, you kind of think, well, that's reasonable, that's fair, and you kind of buy into it.